Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. Tonight, I'm really excited to have Christina Martin on the show. They say the mark of fine songwriting is when a song feels like an old favorite on the first listen. With Christina Martin, you can find an album full of tracks that feel like time-treasured classics and brand new singles that feel like the song you got married to. Sharp as a razor and shining like silver, her songs blend the relatable and personal, painting portraits of love, loss, tragedy, and redemption to soul-stirring effect.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Christina. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome. It's very exciting to have you on the show tonight.
Oh, your voice is very soothing, very relaxing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's my light FM voice, I guess.
I like it. Yeah, it's getting me in the zone for writing, maybe.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your story. What got you started down this path?
The path to songwriting. Honestly, I didn't really think I would be on it. Yeah, until I was about 19 years old, I had a real low point in my life, and my father had died, and I was in university, and I went into pretty good depression, and was just spiraling. You know, I went from like being a straight A student and life of the party to basically just crying all the time and not knowing what was going on and what my purpose was. And I had, my parents had put me in music lessons as a child. And I do remember composing music, not lyrics, when I was really young, kind of in secret, in private. And, but as I was a very defiant little girl, and I quit music lessons. I didn't really like my instructor at the time. And I focused on what kids focus on, I guess, most of the time, like sports and, you know, boys and whatnot. And fast forward to the depression, and I ended up leaving everything familiar, and I moved to Austin, Texas. And that's where everything kind of, my journey with songwriting would begin.
Wow. That's fascinating. It's a little bit sad, right? But it's part of your story. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think we've all struggled with a little mental health here and there, but it's really cool to see you kind of have that as your story and getting over it, but always kind of remembering it in a way.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, songwriting, the two things that have, I think, kept me healthy and even to this day, are songwriting and singing. Singing because it taught me about breath and breathing and being present, you know, and performing. And then songwriting gave me this opportunity to figure out like what was going on, like what, how do I feel? What are my opinions about things, relationships, you know, and the good, the bad, the ugly. Eventually now that I've stuck with it this long, I can say, I'm so happy that I worked through all of the things I was struggling with. I mean, I still struggle, but like now I write more about things that I want to celebrate, like love. You know, that's the cool thing I think about sticking with it for so long. I'm so glad that there were times when I thought about quitting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. And I think we've all been there at one point or another. I think a lot of people quit way too early, if you ask me. I think it's all about perseverance and making it your mission. And if it takes you 20 years to have a hit song, then that's what it takes you.
Yeah, I mean, there are different marks of success. Maybe for some people, like for me, my Yeah, I've never actually said to myself, I want to write a hit song. Maybe that's my problem. You know, it's to stay healthy, to have creative freedom, to be able to continue doing this, to be able to sing on stages in different parts of the world, and to have healthy relationships. You know, like everyone, it's really important to try to identify like what is your mark of success, and maybe it's not like the make a hit or write a hit, you know?
And I think, when we're younger versus different age ranges, I think you get a little different perspective on life too, or when you've been through challenges such as you have been through.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot more perspective now. I still haven't figured everything out. I mean, although, you know, some days I feel like maybe I did, and then most days I'm like, oh, who was I kidding? But at least I know like songwriting is something we can always turn back to when we feel lost, you know, or like I said, when we want to celebrate something we feel very passionate about, we want to document it. We want to share it with others. We want to connect on that thing that brings us joy. So it's, I think I, and now I know that about songwriting. It's like, it's one of those things I can count on, when I feel lost. But I could tell you right now, like I'm just about to put out a new record, and I haven't written much new in a couple of years. 'Cause I've, you know how you go through those periods where you're like, okay, you're in the season for writing, you're in the season for recording, you're in the season for promoting and touring, and you don't have as much time, you know, especially if you're juggling other side gigs and stuff.
Juggling life, friends, family, there's all these obligations we have. It's really difficult. And I think the one thing I always come back to is if I ever made it, it's the coolest thing in the world to be able to have time as opposed to doing something at 10 o'clock at night or on the weekend when everyone else is having fun. It would be really cool to do this as your day job. I think that'd be phenomenal. I can't even imagine how lucky people are that they get to do that.
Yeah, it's I mean, I have been, I guess, one of the privileged to be able to do that, you know, sing your songs and make money from your music. It's it doesn't always feel glamorous. Like it feels like hard work, you know? But I guess when I get down about the things I have to do in order to make it to the stage or get a tour going, you know, I have to, like I said, you have to know what it is you're doing it for, the reasons why, and remember that. And you said it, persistence, you know, resilience, like stick with itness, if that's even a you like sticking with it and having faith that if you get up every day and, you know, just like writing a song, like it, you know, you got to get up and you actually have to show up and put pencil to paper or however you do it. You gotta show up, and otherwise no song's gonna be written. Well, it's the same with a tour and getting out there and doing it like to make a living at it. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about this song, Christina, that we're going to hear. What inspired it?
Little Princess is interesting to me because it actually encompasses like part of a terrible poem that I wrote when I was a little girl lying in my bed staring up at the ceiling at night. And the first person I went to tell was that I'd written this poem, which in my memory is the first poem I've ever written, was my bigger brother, Stefan. He was an artist, a visual artist, a brilliant artist. And he struggled with addiction most of his young adult life and adult life. And then addiction took his life in 2013. And so I guess this song was born of like these memories of like early creation and like how he was intertwined in my creative like process, and I looked up to him, and then our both of our journeys are very, were very different, you know, very different, yet we were so connected, you know.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick listen, then we'll come back and talk some more, okay?
Sure thing.
Okay, awesome. So here we go, everybody. Check this out.
Out when the sun goes down, reflections of of a simpler town. I turned to you to read my poems. I looked up to you to wave your wand over my head, little princess. You direct my route. You shut me up, you shut me out. I'm a fighter. To what I know is love is not the brightest alleyway. I turn to you to read my poems. I looked up to you to wave your wand over my head, little princess. You direct my rhyme. You direct my rhyme. Without your mother, the shelter from Toronto's winters had to come from a total stranger. I turned to you to read my poems. I looked up to you to wave your wand over my head, little princess. You direct my rhyme. You direct.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Christina. Definitely feels like a special song.
Yeah, it is. The older I get, I don't love getting older, but one of the cool things is I do feel like the, really honing in and learning how to edit and like this, when I do end up finishing a song, I feel like they're more precious now than maybe in the beginning. There's a lot of throwaways in the beginning, and there's still throwaways, but, I feel like now much more precious about the songs I put on my albums, and I won't put out an album unless I feel that way about all of them.
Yeah, you hit on something important, I think, as songwriters. I can tell you this is my 10th year, and there are songs I put out because I was rushing to put something out every single month. And as I've gotten older, a throwaway here or there is okay because not everybody wants to hear a 7-minute rock song, but I think it's got to really be produced well. The lyrics, the songwriting, everything's got to be at a certain par for me to actually release it now, which is very different than when I was younger. So I think that's key.
Yeah, I concur. Take your time. I did the same thing. We all do, right? Like, and we don't know, like to us, you know, in the beginning, everything sounds awesome because it's new and it's fresh and, oh my goodness, we made this thing, you know, and you got to do what you got to do at the time. Like I'm not a huge fan of like my earliest songs, but at the same time, it's like, oh, that's, you know, it represents a time in my life that, you know, I'm not ashamed of it in any way. Like I needed that to do that, to get to the point I'm at now. So there's a bit of a kind of an acceptance too of what we've done and that appreciation for how far we've come and continue to grow.
I don't know if this happened to you, but you're talking about, it reminded me the very first song I released, I thought, okay, this is going to be a hit. It's going to go viral. And then, okay, it didn't happen. Then the second song, and then the third song. And I think you just get to a point where you realize it's hard to have a hit and go viral. And then you kind of do it for the right reasons, and you're not really trying to do a song that you think people want to hear. You start really reaching inside yourself and doing something more authentic for yourself as well as for your fans.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those are all good points. I I mean, I remember because I'm self-released and I've always been my own label and self-managed, really. I have people on my team always. I now hire people for when I release albums, but I've had to kind of guess what I felt was going to be the single, the hit, you know, and then I'm usually pretty wrong at what becomes more popular with others. But, you know, yeah, eventually now, like with my album, I didn't care about hit. It was more about like which songs did I feel I wanted to put out there for specific reasons, in order and building up to the big launch of the album. And, but I don't, yeah, I think it can be, for me anyway, I don't think in terms of what's going to be a hit. Although I'm going to backtrack a bit here and say that my team does consider what's going to be a more radio friendly track. I kind of pick my favorites and then let them, you know, go, what do you think? Like, what do you want to lead with when we launch the album? Cause they are experts in pitching, to radio, and I am not, you know, yeah. So
tell us about your favorite social media channel.
My favorite social media channel is, I think, Instagram. I suppose because I've always been a very visual person. And I think that's what Instagram really is about. But I don't proclaim to be like an expert in any of them. And I've also chosen not to participate in some of the social medias, because I want to have a life, and I have found it quite stressful to try, you know, I don't want to spend my life on social media. I do enough with Instagram and kind of cover Facebook a bit, you know, and barely Twitter. I'm kind of old fashioned, and it probably doesn't help my case that I'm not, you know, out there on all of the other socials.
Yeah, but I think you're doing the right thing. You can be on them to some extent, but really, I think you're right to focus on a couple.
Yeah, I mean, my focus has, you know, up until the pandemic, and I'm getting back into it, but you never know what the future holds, has always been, you know, get in front of people, like touring and making connections that way. I've learned that I don't love, you know, performing online, singing my songs online as much. And so a little bit of like, make sure whatever you do put out there is authentic, and you've got a mix of the homey stuff and a mix of the professional, you know, your vision, the best you can do. And then don't forget to focus on the actual work itself, the music.
Yeah, that's important, because sometimes we can all get distracted with things we think are important. But at the end of the day, it really is all about the song.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, yeah. Making the connection and like, you know, for me, I love making music videos. I love working with other directors and other artists. So that was always my dream, to make songs that I was proud of coupled with like great music videos. And I keep trying to strive for that, those two combinations, because for growing up, the songs and the music videos really, the music video really sealed the deal for me for a song.
Yeah.
So they're sort of almost as important, but two separate media forms, like artistically speaking, you know. And one cool new thing that I've been experimenting with is creating audio described music videos for low vision, partially sighted, and the blind population. So that's a very new endeavor that it's just a whole other art form that I've been learning from my partners, you know, who've been helping me produce these things. It all starts with the song, though. The song's written, you know, there's visuals in your mind. You do a music video, and then you go on to create these other pieces, and that it's all about connection, though.
Yeah, I am an 80s child, so I love music videos, and I try to do one every month, but again, it's hard, right? Because it takes a lot of production, it takes a lot of time, and not every music video is what you want it to be. But it's really cool to hear someone that also believes in the music video.
I do. But yeah, I for sure do. And, you know, even if it is just art for the sake of art, if you can't get it distributed, you know, as much as we could yet in the good old days. It's just finding what's important to you and trying to fight to do it and find the resources. That's a tricky thing. But again, if you stick with it and focus in, anything's really possible.
No, for sure. Tell us about what you got planned for the fans this year. Anything special coming up?
I have a new song, single and video coming out August 4th called Storm. It's the title track for my new album that's coming out September 1st. And I'll be going on tour. We're doing 37 shows in Europe this fall and then the UK next March. And hopefully, definitely shows in my home country, Canada, next spring and hopefully into the summer. So, yeah, hopefully just getting back into performing live for people with a new album.
Awesome, awesome. So tell us about your website. Where can people buy your stuff, stream it, reach out to you?
Sure. I mean, ChristinaMartin.net is really the hub for everything, for my socials. For where to buy my music, which is Bandcamp or at the shows, really. So that's it, ChristinaMartin.net. And I have a podcast as well, which is all, you know, everyone can find it, links on my website.
That's awesome. I really, really want to thank you for being on the show tonight. It was a blast, and I'd love to have you on again anytime.
That's really sweet. Thank you. I would love to. I loved your questions. It was great to chat.
You're welcome. So tell the fans out there, thank you for spending a little bit of your precious time with the two of us. We sincerely appreciate it and we thank you for listening. We hope your own unique story gets heard around the world too. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Have a great night, everybody. I love you guys.
Has Through that thing you like to do.
And no sign will do, a voice, an image, a vivid memory.
Are you up there enjoying the view? Are your arms wide open waiting for me?
For listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.